Aloha, friends. Nani here. Welcome to Chai Chat. Want to know what's in your cup today? I have just fresh mint from the yard. So, yep, go pick your fresh mint, put it, boil some water, pull it off the heat, add the hot water to the mint, let it steep for 10 minutes because we want it to steep long enough for some of those volatile oils to come out. It takes a little bit for mint. If you crush it beforehand, that process happens a little quicker, and then sip and enjoy. I do not add sugar to mine, but I know some people might add a touch of sugar and or honey. So welcome. Today, I wanted to offer you a little conversation about alignment. Yeah, alignment. And I'm going to share with you a quote that I use often in mentorship and in my workshops. And it is, the collective we, in terms of those who practice yogasana, if we were as obsessed about our alignment off the mat as we are on the mat, our lives would be completely different. Let me say that again. If we were as obsessed about our alignment off the mat as we are on the mat, our lives would be completely different. So I just want you to let that settle. And I share this from a personal place in that I too, for many, many years, thought that in order to be a quote unquote good yogi, good student, on the path towards my self-realization, that alignment was the utmost importance when I showed up on the mat. And what you come to realize very quickly along the path, the dedicated path, is that alignment, yes, is important, but it's more of an opportunity for svadhyaya, for that self-inquiry, rather than, so creating new patterns of what does alignment mean in body, truly in mind, in our expression of prana throughout the world, versus how we've been trained oftentimes, especially if you grew up in Western culture, if you grew up in cultures that are dominated by the cosmology of a monolithic God that sees over everyone, and that there's the good and then there's the sinner and there's nothing in between. That messaging applied, it is transmitted even when we show up to our yoga mats. And this same messaging is that there is a right or a perfect way ends up being what happens when we show up on the mat. And so even when we start to go to workshops and trainings, this idea of, you know, the perfect alignment becomes kind of the subconscious messaging. And I honestly, as a guide, as a teacher who's led workshops for now over a decade, for almost nearly two decades now, and classes, I'm part of that. I did that too. I was a sucker for that. And it doesn't mean once you realize you are wrapped up in that, that means you have agency to change if that's part of your calling. And so now I feel really passionate about, after many years of contemplating, what does alignment mean on the mat? It always came back to, it's different for everyone. You know, one of my very, very first teachers, and more than yogasana teachers, but one of my first teachers in Hawaii used to always say, for every person on this planet, there's that many ways of expressing yoga and expressing yogasana. And I'm so grateful that that message got ingrained in me so early on, because it's so true, especially as we discuss alignment. Alignment on the mat, and alignment off the mat, right? So the next step of this, for every person on this planet, there's a way of expressing asana that changes daily. It changes moment by moment, right? For each of us. And so as a guide, as a facilitator, as a teacher, that can be kind of challenging, especially if you think, or if your mind is still stuck in that there's this perfect way of an asana to look. There's not, okay? everybody's body's different. And everybody's body's different at a different stage of life and in every single day, different from the morning to the evening. So this is why I like to come back to the sacred text, to the yoga text, to find how can I be guided in a way that is very much in alignment with yoga philosophy and the real yoga practice, rather than maybe the cherry-picked version of what I originally learned, what I followed, what I practiced, what I shared, and really coming back to the source text to help me understand what does alignment mean. And so I wanted to share with you just a few passages from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And honestly, the more that I learn about the different yoga texts, this is an incredible yoga text, right? But really, this is about the mind. Yoga Sutras of Patanjali is about the mind. There's only a small, small section in there about physical practices, right? In general, any of the practices that we are actively engaged in are called tapas, right? The things that create fire, whether that's of the mind or of the body, and pretty much assumes the yamas, the niyamas, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, right? Those are active practices. So I want to also give due credit to a lot of the yoga asana that we practice in the United States. Now that I'm rereading the Hatha Yoga Pradipika with new awareness and just where I am in my life, I realize we often refer to this book as a guide, and it's an incredible guide. And I am so grateful for this as a guide. And I believe that many of us would actually find more connection with the Hatha Yoga Pradipika. So I'm just going to put that out there. Again, I don't feel like an authority to necessarily teach or talk about either yet, even though I've been reading these for many decades now. But I do really resonate with certain pieces that I feel comfortable sharing. So in book two, thread or Sutra 46 of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, this is the one main sutra that talks about our alignment, that even talks about asana, okay? And you've probably heard me say this a million times, but I'm going to say it again because it's that important. Sthira Sukham Asanam, okay? And let's remember, when they're talking about asana and the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, we're talking about literally a seated meditative pose. Asana, to sit with oneself. It's not talking about Trikonasana, triangle pose, or Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. You can hear my congestion. Upward facing dog, or Tadasana, mountain pose. In the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, there is quite the assumption that, yes, you might be practicing those to maintain maintenance of physical self so that you can sit with ease with oneself. But really, even that sutra, Sthira Sukham Asanam, is really pointing towards Sthira, steadiness, Sukham, sweetness, Asanam, in our seat. And so what ends up happening, how I've translated this, and even as I read the Hatha Yoga Pradipika again, I can see in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, where it explains some of these asana other than seated meditative poses, each of the descriptions still describe how to be steady and at ease. And yes, there are, you know, descriptions about foot placement and which knee is bent, which leg is straight, but they're very, very vague. It's not as micromanaged as we have created it here, at least in the United States, and that there's actually a lot more space for interpretation. And I really appreciate that, because for every person on this planet, there's that many ways of expressing these asana, these different forms. And as you'll hear me say, and at the Indra Yoga Institute, where I get to share yoga, Ayurveda, and Chinese medicine with students in their 300-hour journey, one of the other facilitators, Raquel Bueno, who's just an incredible spirit and teacher as well, she and I are constantly, constantly coming back to this idea is form is function, meaning the form, whichever asana you're taking has function. And so the quote-unquote proper alignment is not necessarily one of perfection in which all bodies look the same, but instead speaks to the spirit of the pose and the subtle body influences of that form to allow free flow, to allow that which is stuck to become freed, and that which might have too much flow or freedom or openness to find more steadiness. And so I really share this idea of alignment as allowing you your own freedom and your own practice at first, to give yourself permission to not worry about, is it perfect? Does it look like a book? Does it look like an Instagram model? And let me tell you, a lot of those huge Instagram, there's a lot of people who are uniquely their own. A lot of those pages that have a ton of followers, they are not necessarily dedicated yoga students. They are beautiful in form and it's artistic and they do these great photo shoots. But keep that in mind. Don't, like, let's drop this comparison. Let's open ourselves up to what is in this present moment. If I move into form and let's say it's Trikonasana, what does my Trikonasana today from a place of feeling steady in intention, steadiness in body, steadiness in breath, from there, how does it want to express itself? And I think of the expression as the sukha, that sweetness. And every day it can be different, right? We can have more conversations as to alignment with season and which asana in terms of their Ayurvedic dosha balancing qualities. You know, we can go into a lot more conversations than I do in our mentor group and in our library of the asana tutorials. And every asana tutorial we talk about how the prana moves, what vayus are activated, and how that balances the different dosha. But for now, let's give ourselves the freedom to come into steadiness and ease in our own bodies and give ourselves permission to explore what might this look like if I shorten my stance, or if I lengthen my stance, or if I really let my breath guide me. Maybe I don't move as high up, right? And see then what is the effects of the practice. Without expectation, without knowing, but we enter the space of our practice in alignment for spirit to breathe us through those movements, to stay connected with an intention that this is a sacred practice, to stay connected with our breath and giving ourselves permission, because as part of this practice, as part of why we continue to show up, or at least not maybe why you show up, but yoga is the science of self-realization, science of spiritual awakening, right? Asana is just one teeny tiny tool to help us at the physical, mental, emotional level. So keeping in mind when we step on the mat, we show up connected to our intention, connected to the sacredness of this lineage and of all the people who kept it alive for us to be able to be practicing here now. Connected to the possibility of steadiness first over perfection or idealism or whatever the ego is attached to. That's what I wanted to share with you. That's what just kind of flowed through today about alignment. And remember, everything we practice on the mat, and I use mat, you know, on the grass, in the sand, on a towel, on carpet, wherever you can practice. I use mat as a metaphor. Whatever shows up on the mat is a reflection of how we show up off the mat. And so let's use this practice as a way to understand in what ways is the ego attached to certain alignment or certain things have to be a certain way, that perfectionist mindset. Or someone told you it needs to be just like this or just so in order to be correct or right. I do believe it is absolutely important to find safety. And if we're talking about safety, we can include that in our definition of steadiness. Because if we are allowing ourselves to really be present in that moment as we move into these different forms, and you listen to your own body's cues, you will be safe. It's oftentimes when we give away our authority, or we are in search of our own ego's approval or our teacher's approval or praise, that we often move into forms that cause pain or injury, right? So steadiness in the present with your breath, listening to your body's cues. Thank you so much for listening. I would love to hear what you have to share regarding this topic. And let's continue to have these conversations. From my heart to yours, aloha.